Picture a man sitting in a French prison cell in 1793, hearing the daily rumble of carts carrying victims to the guillotine. Thomas Paine, the same firebrand who wrote Common Sense and helped spark the American Revolution, was now penning something far more dangerous than a political manifesto. He was writing a critique of the Bible itself. The result, The Age of Reason, would get publishers jailed in England, spark riots, and eventually force even conservative clergy to acknowledge truths they'd long denied. Yet this wasn't the work of an atheist trying to destroy faith. It was something more radical, a believer arguing that real religion required thinking, not blind obedience. Centuries later, his arguments still echo through debates about faith, reason, and who gets to decide what's sacred. Paine declares, "I believe in one God and no more." He's a deist who accepts a creator but rejects organized religion's authority. Think of it like believing in gravity but refusing to join the International Gravity Association. For Paine, religion is simple. Do justice, love mercy, make people happy. No priests, no sacred texts. His own mind is his church. He calls out mental lying, clergy who privately doubt church teachings but keep preaching for a paycheck. The deist path offers moral grounding without abandoning reason. Nature itself becomes scripture. Here's Paine's brilliant insight. Revelation is God speaking directly to someone, but the moment that person tells someone else, it becomes hearsay. When Moses claimed God gave him stone tablets, the Israelites had only his word. You're trusting extraordinary claims, virgin births, resurrections, parting seas, based on accounts written decades or centuries later by strangers. Would you believe your neighbor claiming an angel visited them Tuesday? Probably not. So why believe similar claims just because they're old? If revelation can't transmit through human language without becoming testimony, no religious text can claim divine authority. You're left with only the creation itself, the natural world as the sole universal communication from any creator. Paine dissects the Bible with prosecutorial precision. The first five books, supposedly written by Moses, describe his own death using phrases like "unto this day," language implying centuries had passed. Matthew and Luke present irreconcilable genealogies of Jesus. Resurrection accounts disagree on who visited the tomb, when they arrived, and what they saw. Kings and Chronicles cover identical periods, yet constantly contradict each other. If divine inspiration coordinated these accounts, they'd align perfectly. Instead, they resemble accumulated legends, exactly what human-created mythology produces. The moral problem cuts deeper. God commands genocide, including infant slaughter. Paine asks, what crime can a baby commit? Ancient tribal leaders likely claimed God ordered their violence to justify what they wanted anyway, wrapping human cruelty and divine authority to silence objection. Paine calls the Bible a history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize mankind. Christianity's central doctrine fares no better. Redemption through Christ's sacrifice? Fundamentally unjust. Moral justice cannot punish the innocent for the guilty. Paine contrasts biblical morals with deism's simple ethics. Do justice, love mercy, make others happy. If your religion requires believing in divine cruelty, it cannot be true. Your conscience is more reliable than any ancient text. Paine's most controversial claim? Christianity repackaged older myths. Virgin births appeared in Greek tales of Perseus and Hercules. Dying and rising gods like Osiris, Dionysus, and Mithras predated Christ. Divine trinities pervaded ancient religions. The talking serpent story sounded mythological, not divinely inspired. The redemption doctrine particularly troubled him. God requires his son's death to forgive humanity? True justice cannot punish the innocent for the guilty. That's revenge, not justice. This portrays God as both cruel and limited, needing blood sacrifice to grant forgiveness. Paine traced this to pagan practices, suggesting early Christians fabricated the theology to support paid pardons. This analysis was scandalous because it treated Christianity like any other religion, subject to scrutiny, evidence, and comparison. Payne wasn't just questioning doctrines, he was suggesting the entire theological framework was human invention, evolved from earlier traditions and adapted to serve religious authorities. Doubting a miracle is one thing. Suggesting the whole system is mythology dressed as revelation is another. Rejecting human texts as divine revelation, Payne finds God's true word in nature itself. The creation speaks a universal language, he writes, independently of human speech or human language. Unlike forgeable books, nature preaches unchangeably to all nations. This is deism's heart. Studying the cosmos reveals divine attributes directly: power in creation's immensity, wisdom in its order, benevolence in Earth's abundance. Payne's astronomical knowledge shapes this view. Our solar system's vast distances and space's immensity make Earth-centered religious narratives seem provincial. How could God, overseeing millions of worlds, abandon all others to die on our small planet because two people ate an apple? If God communicates through nature rather than texts, then scientific study becomes worship. Natural philosophy, science, becomes the true theology. Your telescope becomes your prayer book. Your laboratory becomes your sanctuary. Yet Christianity deliberately suppressed scientific knowledge to protect its doctrinal supremacy. Galileo, forced to recant, Giordano Bruno, burned for suggesting an infinite universe. These weren't isolated incidents. They were systematic suppression of inquiry that threatened religious authority. Christian education reinforced this. Students mastered Latin and Greek primarily to read religious texts, not ancient scientific knowledge. Curiosity became sin. Questions became heresy. Understanding became dangerous. When the Age of Reason appeared, the backlash was fierce. English publishers faced imprisonment, with Thomas Williams spending a year in prison for selling it. Yet a century later, many of Payne's scandalous views had entered mainstream religious discourse. At the 1895 Church Congress, Canon Bonney acknowledged that scientific knowledge had diminished early biblical books' historical value, admitting the creation story cannot harmonize with geology, the fall and flood stories are incredible, and even the Gospels contain inaccuracies, precisely Payne's argument a century earlier. This vindication demonstrates Payne's lasting influence. His insistence that religion must be compatible with reason anticipated modern liberal theology, while his critique of biblical literalism paved the way for historical critical approaches now accepted in mainstream seminaries. Most importantly, Payne democratized religious criticism by writing in accessible language rather than scholarly jargon, empowering ordinary people to evaluate religious claims themselves rather than accepting clerical authority. Between fundamentalism and atheism, Payne offers a third path, rational faith that welcomes inquiry. Genuine belief requires thinking, not submission. Question everything, especially the sacred. If your faith can't withstand scrutiny, it's fear dressed as devotion. Truth fears no examination. Only lies need protection from questions. Payne's deism revealed that morality doesn't require divine commandments. It flows from compassion, justice, and our desire to reduce suffering. These human qualities are accessible to everyone, regardless of belief. If moral truth is knowable through reason and conscience, no institution can monopolize ethics. No text can demand obedience to commands violating our deepest sense of right and wrong. Your mind, your conscience, your critical thought, these are the ultimate arbiters of truth. Payne's legacy lives wherever people refuse to surrender judgment to authority, wherever curiosity triumphs over dogma, wherever truth matters more than certainty.